It's here and now. Happy Passover, happy Good Friday, and Easter is coming up. Jews gathered for Seders this past Monday and Tuesday to remember the difficult flight from slavery in Egypt to freedom. Christian pilgrims are in the Holy Land today for Good Friday, the day of Christ's crucifixion at Calvary, with the promised resurrection on Easter Sunday. Both sets of stories and traditions are about values essential for us as human beings. And so is Eric Kobel's new book. Kobel is a psychotherapist and former minister of social justice at Riverside Church in New York City. His new book is When Your Life is on Fire, What Would You Save? And he joins us from the studios of NPR in New York. Eric, welcome.
Good to be here, Robin.
Really nice to have you here. And your title, a play on a very old question, what would you save if your house is on fire? You ask readers to think about that, but I love how French filmmaker Jean Cocteau answered the question in the beginning of your book. He was asked, if your home was on fire and you could only save one thing, what would it be? What was his answer?
His answer was, I'd save the fire.
That is very deep. So we want to get listeners thinking, probably many already have, about what they would save. You know, people have thought about a house fire. Of course, if minus people and pets, they are out safely in this theoretical question. People have thought about that. But what would it be for you, Eric? Start there.
Well, materially, I suspect what I would want to save would be my writings. And one of the things we did with this book, though, is we expanded the idea of the house fire to say that not only does the house contain everything you own, but think of everything you are. You know, your principles, your beliefs, your memories, anything you want to include that is of value to you, imagine that in the house. And then on that basis, what would be the most important thing for you to save?
Well, because the first question gets trickier without the second. For instance, if someone says, I've got to save that car that I lovingly restored, you might say to them, well, how do you feel about money? Did you save any money? Because what are you going to restore it with?
Right. That's part of the conundrum is as people contemplated the question, they very often told me it wasn't a matter of thinking about what they would save, but all the things they were leaving behind. So it really was a sticky wicket for them.
It was what you're not just saving, but what you're forsaking.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that people told you? You spoke to a fireman, for instance.
Spoke to a firefighter who was actually the first female firefighter in the New York Fire Department. Her name is Brenda Berkman. And she is a recent convert to Christianity. And what she said, apropos of this week, is she would save the Beatitudes of Jesus, the blessings from the Sermon on the Mount. She said, without those, I would be a total moral wreck.
Well, but what is that? That's a thing. How does she go on to say what value that is that she's saving or what value she would be saving?
Well, The reason it's so valuable to her is that she regards it as the blueprint of her life. One of the things she pointed out is in the conversations in When Your Life is on Fire, she said one of the most important beatitudes to her is blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. And she said, why I value that so much, and again, in her own words, is I'm not very much at peace with myself. So what she was really saying to me was that these are the ways that I have to try and mature as a human being. And they are in essence my blueprint for a stronger and more peaceful life.
Give us some other examples of not maybe what people said, but what you'd want people to think about if they're sitting here saying, "God, I spent a lot on that bicycle. I'd really like that bicycle. That's you know who I am." What are when you want to broaden it out to not just your house on fire, but your life on fire? What are some of the things you're asking people to think about?
I'm asking them to think about their beliefs, their dispositions. Their memories that are most important to them. There was a returning soldier from Afghanistan who suffered traumatic brain injury. And when I asked him, his name is Don Lang, when I asked him, when your life is on fire, what would you save? Don said, in essence, it's too late. I lost everything. The fire has already happened. And what he meant by that was he really lost everything about his identity because of his brain injury in Afghanistan. And what he said then was the most valuable thing to him was rebuilding who he is. So he focused on his personality. There was a woman by the name of Tao Porshan Lynch, who's 98 years old and is a yoga instructor, grew up in India. Her earliest memory, she was brought up by her uncle and aunt, her earliest memory was walking for independence with Gandhi. And she talked about her optimism, without which she couldn't be a teacher, she couldn't be a yogi, and as she said, she couldn't be a human being.
Boy, if everything was on fire, wanting to save your optimism is a challenge.
yeah, it, to say the least, I'm not sure I would have chosen
right.
that, but she did.
Well, put this in the context of the season for us. One of the most powerful responses you got was from a rabbi. He related to the Passover story, again, the Jews fleeing the Pharaoh in slavery, and he related that to today.
Yeah, Arthur Waskow is this brilliant rabbi in Philadelphia. Arthur talked to me about his conversion experience, and what he said was he was living in D.C. back in when Martin Luther King was assassinated, which also happened to be the beginning of Passover in 1968. The federal government put a lockdown on Washington for a curfew, dawn to dusk. Dusk to Dawn, and Arthur and a group of other activists organized to bring food and medical supplies and other provisions into the African-American communities that were shut down because of the lockdown. He talked about walking down the street with these boxes of supplies, with military and with armed militia and tanks pointed at him. And he suddenly realized, he said, this is Pharaoh's army. The Seder, he said, is in the streets. Hmm. And that's when he decided to become a rabbi.
Hmm. And, of course, it's Easter as well, rebirth for mm-hmm. believers. But it's mm-hmm. a very powerful time and can be for the secular as well. I have a friend who sees this time of year as a second chance, you know.
It is. Yeah. Yep.
But
it
how
is.
Does it's, that oh, – well, go ahead.
Go, no, you please. Go ahead.
I was going to say, how does that relate to your question?
Well, I think what it does is this. It's a season of rebirth in that in both the Passover story and in the Easter story, you have the triumph of hope and possibility over the forces of oppression and despair. And that is what I think your friend is touching upon. The way it relates to values is this. When we embrace the idea of hope and a season spurs that embrace in us, it can change the way we see life and thereby change what we really value most, or at least clarify what we really value most. And the important thing is not just the clarification of what we value. The important thing is to take the lessons of this season and figure out how to hold on to those values going forth into the rest of the year.
Yeah, and kind of what you don't like about yourself, let it burn.
Right. Incinerate it.
Eric Colbell, he's a psychotherapist, former minister of social justice at Riverside Church in New York. His new book is When Your Life is on Fire, What Would You Save? Eric, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Robin.
And to our listeners, we'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Go to hereandnow.org. When your house is on fire, what one thing, again, not people, pets, what one thing would you save and why? And then if your life were on fire, what one thing about yourself do you want to save, and what do you want to just leave behind? Let us know, hereandnow.org. You're listening to Here and Now.